Welcome to our Sunday evening online church service. As we begin this evening, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would please speak to our hearts from your word. As we look at this familiar passage, I pray that you'd just open our eyes and help us to understand the truth that you have for us here. And Lord, may we go away after listening to this with a better understanding of how to put on the spiritual armor so that we can defend ourselves against the devil. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. The passage about God's spiritual armor. And not a new passage to us, one that we've looked at before. But the last time I looked at it in any depth was a couple of years ago. So I really was burdened to share some things on this passage that I think can be of help to us. I've been spending time in my daily walk with the Lord. Every morning when I'm on my walk, I'll go through this passage and work through the armor and put on the armor. And I just want to share with you some of the things that I've been learning and some things that I think can be of help to you as they've been a help to us. You know, we daily face temptations to say ungodly words, to act unkindly, to lust, to get angry, to disobey, to fear, to witness, to worry, to gossip, and so on. You know, the list goes on and on of things that we are tempted to do. And our text this evening was written to Christians. You know, if you're listening to this evening and you do not know for positive you're a Christian, that's where you got to begin. You need to deal with that first, because you really can't have victory over sin until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And our passage tells us that the devil and the demons are behind our temptations. Verse number 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And this morning in my Bible time, I just spent some time focusing on that verse and thinking about that verse. And I looked up all the different words and all the different implications there. It's just describing Satan and the demons and all of their powers and how they originated sin and how they have power over the world of darkness and that is opposed to God's light. And they are spiritual beings and they're wicked, and they're in the heavenly places. And so they're up there working against us all the time. And it's important for us to see that. Now I realize that our sinful flesh works against our indwelling spirit. Galatians 5:17 tells us that. But the spiritual powers of the devil and the demons, I think, are our greatest foes. And that's what the Lord tells us here, that they are our foes, and they are the ones that are working against us. And many, perhaps most, Christians do not know how to put on the armor of God. And therefore, they rarely put it all on, and they often live in defeat. And that's sad. And as we look at this passage, you know, many times through the years, I've heard messages on this passage, and pastors will go and explain all the details of what different pieces of armor meant in the original soldier's life, and it's very interesting. But when it gets all done, many of them don't really tell me how to put on the armor. And so I'm left with a lot of information, but not really knowing how to put it on. And this evening I want us to look at this in such a way that I can show you how to put each piece of God's armor on. That's my goal. And just as a soldier, you must daily put on God's armor. And you must put on the armor by asking God to help you with each piece. Now, one of the things that is really essential is that you need to memorize this procedure and arm yourself after every morning. You know, unless you memorize this procedure, you're not going to take the time to look up Ephesians chapter 6 and go down through this list of armor every day. You will neglect that. After a few days, you'll go back to not doing it at all. And so you really need to memorize the procedure. It's not that difficult. memorize the different pieces of armor and how to put them on, and get it firmly embedded in your mind, and it'll help you. So as we begin here, we find the first piece of armor that God gives us is in verse number 14. It is the truth. But let's just go ahead and begin, and I want to read verses 10 to 18, and we'll get the context of what we're dealing with here. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, it is God that gives us the strength and God that gives us the might to get the victory. We got to get that through our understanding. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say put on one or two pieces or take your pick. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 we already read, but let's read it again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Very important passage of Scripture. We begin here by looking at the belt of truth. God begins with the belt of truth. Now, we need to ask God to teach us truth from the Bible. It is truth that can help us. And knowing truth will keep us from believing error. And that's really a key and a foundational part and an essential part. And that's why I believe God puts it first here in the list. We need to know the truth. And the truth comes from the Word of God. The Bible truth that we need is in the Scriptures. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. He also said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, it is the Word of God that gives us liberty. It is the Word of God that sets us free from the false teachings of the world and the devil. And so we need the truth of the Word of God. We need to put on the truth. Now, after prayer, you know, after you spend time praying and talking to the Lord and going through these armor pieces, then you need to get your Bible out every morning and you need to find a Bible truth that you can focus on. Find a Bible truth that you can focus on. Having daily time in careful Bible study every morning will fill your mind with truth and protect you against error. We need this. It's essential. God starts with this. He says this is the first piece of armor. You need this. Now, do not just read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. That's not what he's talking about. You can skim through a chapter and not pay any attention to it and pat yourself on the back and say, I did my job, and you haven't learned a thing. But what you need to do is you need to follow a schedule of some sort. It doesn't have to be the schedule that I promote, any kind of a schedule, but just something to keep you routinely going through the Bible so that you're not bobbing here and there and just picking out a favorite passage every now and then to have a look at. You need to follow some sort of schedule. And then underline key phrases as you study. You know, when you're studying, you find something that sticks out in your mind and you think, wow, that was good, that was important. Underline it. Put a star beside it. Mark it in some way in your Bible. And then look up unknown words. You know, there may be words that you don't know or words that you think you know that might be a little confusing. And you look it up and find out that, oh, they had meanings that you didn't realize. And so look them up, particularly if you have a Bible app or a computer app where you can look up the original meanings of the words, then you're going to gain even more from that. But look up the unknown words. And then write notes in your Bible margin. You know, your Bible ought to be filled with little notes that you've put in there from here and there where you've learned something. When you look up a word and you find a definition, write it in the margin. And when you learn something from a preacher or in your own study, write it in the margin so you don't lose it. It'll be there for you the next time. That's one of the reasons I believe it is very important in our daily Bible reading that we use a printed Bible. You know, there's nothing wrong with reading from a phone app or a computer, but unless you're taking notes, unless you're writing down, unless you're marking your Bible, and you can't really do that very effectively on a phone or on your computer. And I realize you can do it somewhat more so on the computer, but it's best to just use a printed Bible and work through it and use it in your Bible study. You'll find you'll gain much more from that. Now, review when you've finished what you've read and pick out one verse, one thought, one principle from that verse that you can ponder. And just go over that thought and that principle. When we talk about a principle, we're talking about something that we can apply to our daily life. Something that God said in that verse that applies to you, that you can hang on to that day. And that will be that principle that you can take with you through the day. That is the Bible truth that you're after. Now, you did not buckle on God's truth today if you did not study the Bible and find a truth to ponder. You know, you might say, well, you know, I just didn't get around to reading the Bible today. Well, then you went without that truth buckled on. You had no protection. And that's important. And God is teaching us this. He said in order for us to have His armor, it starts with the Word of God. Now, secondly, we see in verse number 14 that we need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, God made you righteous at salvation. If you know the Lord as your Savior, when you got saved, you were positionally made righteous before God. God said you are right with Him now. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." When we got saved, God made us righteous, or made us right with God. Now, because we don't always live righteously, because we slip into sin, we trip and we do things we shouldn't do, God tells us we need to follow righteousness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts." So we're to flee the things that are wrong, but follow righteousness. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're to follow righteousness. We're to do what is righteous and right. And how do we keep our heart righteous before God? Well, confession of sin will keep you righteous. And that's the key, I believe, to this piece of armor, is confession of sin. Daily confession of sin is not part of eternal salvation. It's, you know, if you don't confess your sins, if you're a genuine Christian, you don't confess your sin, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you will lose your fellowship with God. And confession of sin keeps us right with God. It keeps us close to God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, what's that next word? Unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, gets all the unrighteousness out of us, we're left with righteousness. And so, God wants us to stay righteous, and we stay righteous by confessing our sins and keeping sins out of our lives. Now, if you put on God's breastplate of righteousness by confessing your sins, God will cleanse you and keep you with that righteousness. So, He wants us to put on that breastplate by confessing all known sin. And one of the things that I find helps greatly is by asking God to search my heart. Lord, have I said or done or thought anything in the last 24 hours that displeased You, that broke our fellowship, that harmed my relationship with You in any way? Lord, convict me of, show me that so that I can confess it and make sure there's nothing between us, because I want to make sure that, Lord, You and I have a righteous relationship here. There's nothing between us. So after you put on the truth, then put on the breastplate of righteousness. Then thirdly, God tells us that we need to put on the shoes of peace. Shoes of peace. Verse number 15. For your feet, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, you ask yourself, what is it that robs us of peace? Well, worry robs us of peace. Worry robs us of peace, and it also weakens our resistance against sin, against temptation. Going through the day without God's peace is like walking barefoot on sharp pebbles. It hurts. And every morning as I'm talking with the Lord about this, I say, Lord, I don't want to go through this day barefoot. I don't want to be walking on the pebbles of burdens and troubles of life and feel the pain in my bare feet. I want your shoes of peace. I need those shoes of peace to protect my feet. And so we need to wear God's shoes of peace. And when you're worrying about your burdens, you are disobeying God, you're focusing on yourself, and you're weakening your resistance against the devil. We need God's peace. Now, cast all your burdens on the Lord and receive God's peace. That is the key to receiving the peace and wearing those shoes of peace. Make a mental list of your burdens. You know, often in the morning when I'm talking to the Lord about this, I'll just think, Lord, what are the things that are troubling me? What are the things that burden me? And I make a mental list of the burdens that I face or the things that are troubling me or tempting me to worry. And then I, one at a time, I give them to the Lord and say, Lord, take that burden from me. I don't want to carry that burden. You take that burden. You carry it. Lord, help me to just trust you and rest in you and depend upon you to meet that need and give your burdens to the Lord. A great verse that deals with this is Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. It means don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says, you give me your burdens, I'll give you peace. And so we need to put on God's shoes of peace. And you do that by giving God your burdens. Number four, we need to take up God's shield. Verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of doubt will disable you. Satan is great at disabling us by throwing those darts of doubt at us. You know, when we doubt God's love, we doubt God's care, if we doubt God's abilities, His faithfulness, His promises, His presence with us, we have no shield against the devil's fiery darts. He'll throw those darts at us and we have no protection. Faith is our mighty shield, and faith in our mighty, faithful God is that shield. We need faith in God who is faithful. Now, how do we get that? How do we build that? Well, we renew our faith in God day by day by thinking on God's greatness. You know, I like to just look around as I'm on my walk in the morning. This is when I do my time of just really going on, putting on the armor. I take a walk and walk around the park. And as I look around the park and I see the things of nature and I look at all the trees and I listen to the birds and I look up in the beautiful clouds in the sky and think about all the great things that God has done and thank God for being the great creator and sustainer of all that exists. Then thank Him for answered prayer. Think back over things that God has done for you and answer to prayer and thank Him for that. Another thing that is a great help is to sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, I don't know of any hymn that has more meaningful words to help build our faith than that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I've mentioned it before that you need to memorize the words of that song. If you haven't done that, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to memorize the words of that song and sing it regularly. Just three verses, great words to it. Think about the words of the song. They're just wonderful. The last verse of the song makes a list of a whole bunch of things that God does for us and blessings He brings our way. And great is His faithfulness. And then ponder on God's attributes. You know, think about the great things that God does and what he is like. He's holy and he's righteous and he's true and he's omnipotent and omniscient. And you just think about his attributes. That can help build your faith. And then the scriptures tell us that we get greater faith by reading the Bible. Romans 10 verse 17 says that so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so reading the scriptures can build your faith. Well, a verse that I just throw out here for you to ponder on, and I've done a lot of thinking on this verse and it helps me as well, is Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look, think of that statement. It is impossible to please God if I don't have faith. For he that cometh to God, that means coming to him for salvation, must believe that he is. Or even coming to God for help, you must believe that he is. Why go to God and ask him for help if you don't believe that he really exists? You need to believe that God exists. So faith comes, we need to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't believe that he exists, you'll not have faith. If you don't believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, then you won't bother to diligently seek him, because what's the sense? And so we need faith in God. So faith is something we need to really work at building in our lives, and we do that by seeing the greatness of God. Pick up God's shield of faith and hold on tightly. Believe God and believe his word and just focus on the word of God. And it'll help you to have greater faith in our great, awesome God. Number 5. You need to take the helmet of salvation. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. He says we're to take the helmet of salvation. Now, salvation, you know, this verse is about protecting our mind. And the word salvation does not always refer to saving us from hell. The word is applied to that in many instances, but the word in general refers to deliverance or protection. And so he says, take the helmet that will protect your head, your mind, your thoughts. The helmet that will protect our mind is the word of God. It is God's word that will protect us. We read in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's the word of God that cleanses, the word of God that protects us, the word of God that keeps us. And we need to keep our mind protected. You know, do so by guarding your meditations. What do you think about all day long? What do I think about all day long? What goes through our minds when we have those idle moments? Psalm 19:14, the psalmist says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He said, Lord, I want my words, my mouth, and my meditations of my heart to please you. And that ought to be true in every one of us. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Think about God. Think about the Bible. Think about wholesome things. Think about good things. You know, if your meditations please God, you will not be thinking impure and ungodly thoughts. You cannot do both at the same time. You cannot be thinking about something that's ungodly and impure if you're meditating on God and his goodness and the great things that he's done for us. We need to guard our minds. Guard our minds. Think on right things. Take the helmet of salvation. Then he says, the latter part of the same verse, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Number 6, we must grip God's sword. Take a hold of God's sword. You know, the devil cannot stand against the Bible. That's an important thing for us to see. Back in verse number 12, he told us how powerful the devil was and how he was a principality and a power and a ruler and all of these things in there. And he is great and very powerful, far more powerful than we are. We cannot stand against him in our own strength at all. We do not have the power. But with God, we can. And God's word will give us strength. And it is the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. It's His sword. Why? Because He's the author of it. And Jesus defeated the devil in His life when He was on this earth. How did He defeat the devil? He quoted Scripture. Again and again, Matthew 4:4 and verse 4:7 and 4:10, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy to defend Himself against the temptations of the devil. And so, we need to use the Word of God and ask God to help you to use the Scriptures effectively. That's what the sword is for. The sword's always sharp. God's Word never loses its sharpness. It never loses its ability. But our use of it often is not what it should be. You know, when the Bible seems ineffective, the problem is not with the Bible, but the problem is our inability to use it effectively. You know, if you're having trouble using the Scriptures against the devil, it's not the Bible's fault, it's your fault, because you don't know the Scriptures well enough to use them. Your handling of the sword needs exercise. You know, you must keep your sword skills proficient. You need to practice and use it and review it. You know, that's true in every area of our life. You know, you think about different things that we do in life, and there's some things that maybe you only do once in a very rare time. And so you have to think about it. How did I do that? How did I make that? How did I go about doing that? I can't hardly remember now. The older you get, the quicker you forget. And so there needs to be review. And sports people, they need to practice and practice and practice to keep their skills sharp. That is true in business. It's true in with the piano. If you don't play the piano, if you know how to play the piano, but you don't play very often, you need to practice and practice, because it takes work to get yourself proficient. And so it is with holding God's sword. We need to work at proficiency. And how do you do that? Well, there's no other way than memorizing and meditating and applying the Word of God. It takes work. It takes work. Meditating and memorizing the Word of God, especially memorizing, I admit, it takes a lot of work to memorize Scripture. But no one can say, I can't do it. You can. If you say you can't, it's because you don't put your heart into it and you're lazy. You may not be able to memorize, you know, whole books at a time. Some people obviously have much better memories than others. But we can memorize the Scriptures. And we need to work at memorizing the Scriptures. And need to review the Scriptures that we have memorized, so that we have them ready to use against the devil. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He said, I've hid it in my heart so that I won't sin, so that I can stand strong and I can use it against the devil. The devil cannot stand against the Bible. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer. You know, we need to spend time in God's presence. If we're going to have ourselves protected against the devil, we need to stay close to God. No question about it. Prayer can do anything God can do. I heard that said years ago when I was in Bible college. Prayer can do anything God can do, and that is such an amazing thought to ponder. Whatever I can pray for, God says I can pray and God can do it. God is unlimited. And therefore, if we submit ourselves to God, He can give us strength. We submit to Him through prayer. James 4:17 says, Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we submit to God in prayer and run to God and say, God, I need your help. I can't do this. And we submit ourselves to Him. But then notice He says here that we need to pray and supplicate. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What is the difference between prayer and supplication? Well, prayer is talking to God and just keeping in close fellowship with God. It's discussing life situations with God. It's just having conversations with God, talking to Him about things of life. And, you know, sometimes we tend to forget that. We come to God with all of our supplications. Our supplications are our requests. whether it be requests for something we need or requests for help, we come to God with those regularly, but we sometimes forget to just take time to just talk to God, fellowship with Him. You know, as a parent, if your children, the only thing they ever said to you is, please, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? I need this. I need this. I need this. Give me this. Can I have that? And they never talk to us just in general, just talking about things of life. We get very frustrated, and God must feel the same. So God says we need to spend time in prayer, just staying close to Him. Pray and supplicate. Request for the needs. The supplications there is requesting. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray. Constantly be in an attitude of prayer, communion with God, talking to Him throughout the day. But then, one that is often overlooked, and I believe it's one of the most important pieces of armor of all of these, is watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching. Watching. We need to watch for potential attacks. You need to be a scout. One who's out there looking, watching for the enemy approaching. The devil usually attacks when our guard is down. You think about the last time that you did something you shouldn't have done. Your guard was down. You weren't watching. You weren't prepared for him. And all of a sudden he sneaks up and jumps out from behind the tree and grabs you, and you fall into temptation. And it's because we weren't watching. And we must always be sober and vigilant, as Peter said, to stay awake and be ready. Peter wrote there in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. To be sober and vigilant literally means to stay awake and be ready. And we sing that chorus often. Stay awake, be ready. The enemy of the devil is after you, and that is absolutely true. Be a great song to sing at the end of this message. But we need to seek to spot the devil before he strikes. Know your weak points and be on guard. This is where it takes a lot of effort. Because I find that when I react in a wrong way, I may be doing fine, thinking good thoughts, all is going well, and somebody says something to me that crosses me the wrong way, and without taking time to pause and watch and realize the devil's attacking, I open my mouth and say something I shouldn't say. We need to bite our tongue. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Don't be hasty. And I'm preaching it myself. I got to be careful not to react without realizing that I'm being attacked. Watch for these things. Another thing is to bounce our eyes. You know, especially you men, when we see something that is immodest, we need to bounce our eyes and turn away and look the other way and don't focus on it, because the devil will get it to get us to think wrong. Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. And so we need to be careful, watching for the devil. Be on guard every day. Put your armor on, you know, spend time in the Word of God and be able to get that truth embedded into your heart and focus on the truth of the Word of God, and then put on that breastplate of righteousness by confessing your sins and making sure there's nothing between you and God, and put on the shoes of peace by just giving your burdens to the Lord and say, Lord, you carry my burdens today. I don't want to walk barefoot. I want your shoes of peace. And just give your burdens to the Lord, and then pick up that shield of faith and focus on the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the power of God and the might of God and His inability to fail you. God will always be there. Trust Him and pick up that shield of faith and carry it. Put on that helmet of salvation, that helmet of deliverance, to deliver your thoughts from evil. Keep your meditations on the Word of God, and keep your meditations on that which is pure and clean. And then grip the sword. Don't let go of it. And make sure you know how to use the sword. And make sure you spend time in the Word so that the sword is there in your mind and in your heart so you can use it effectively. And then spend time throughout the day praying, talking to God. Pray without ceasing. Spend that time communicating with Him and staying in close fellowship with Him and close communion with Him so that the devil doesn't have that opportunity. And then watch. Watch. Be on guard. Know your weaknesses. Know what triggers you. Know what ticks you and causes you to trip. Be aware of those things. And be on guard so that when that next time it happens, instead of falling and yielding, we can grab ourselves and say, nope, I'm not going to react in the wrong way. I'm going to do what's right. We need to be on guard. Watch. Now, God has designed this armor for your protection. It is your means to attain God's strength and His might to defeat the devil. But you must allow yourself to benefit from it by doing what God has said. What did He say? Back up in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You've got to put it on. It's going to take work. But you're in a battle with the devil. This is not just a squirt gun fight with your friends. We're in a battle. You know, will you take it seriously? Will you memorize how to put on God's 8 pieces of armor? Will you put it on every morning as you begin your day? You need to. I need to. It takes work. Your spiritual success and purity depends on it. So does mine. You know, I share these things from my heart because these are some things that I've been pondering and working on, and for the last probably a month or so particularly, I've been really going over these things and thinking about them, and each morning trying to put on this armor as I'm on my walk. It takes me about 15 minutes, you know, just going through these pieces of armor and talking to the Lord about it and putting on each one of these pieces of armor and asking God to help me and strengthen me and give me grace and encouragement and the determination to do what's right. But it can be a real encouragement and a real help to us if we'll put on God's armor. So I strongly encourage you to take these 8 points that we've looked at here tonight. Download the notes. Go over them again and again and again. Maybe write them on a little card. Whatever you got to do, but memorize the ways of putting on this armor, and then practice it day after day, and it'll be a help to you, it'll be a strength to you, it'll be an encouragement to you if you'll do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we need your help. Putting on the armor is not easy. Well, I shouldn't say that, Lord. Putting on the armor isn't all that difficult, but remembering to put on the armor is the difficult part. And daily disciplining ourselves to put on the armor is the difficult part. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to put on the armor every day and to live it and to depend upon you. And, Lord, may you give us victory and strength through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.